Hello, and welcome to Crackpot Theories, the podcast where everything is plausible until proven otherwise. My name is Sinead.
And I am Sarka.
Are you absolutely sure of that this time?
I'm 100% sure. I checked. The government told me.
Okay, that's fair. So we're going to dive straight into it. Christmas is on the way. And we have some Christmas theories for you people. We have a fairly short one coming up, and then we have a more complex one after that. As always, if you think that we're wrong, you can catch up with us on social media. We are on Twitter somewhere. We're on Instagram somewhere else. I mean, if you find us in person and you want to tell us that we're wrong,
don't buy us that.
buy us a drink. You can tell me that you're wrong, that I'm wrong all you want. That's fine with me. Okay, so our very first theory. Sarka, how many times have you seen Lord of the Rings?
Way too many. It's a regular occurrence. We sit down with the extended editions, popcorn, spend all like 4 days watching all of them.
Oh my God, you nerd.
I am a massive nerd. I do love Lord of the Rings.
That's fair. No, I'm a massive nerd as well, so that's okay. So my theory here is, what happens after Gandalf leaves for the Grey Havens with all of the elves and a handful of hobbits? And then later on, Gimli and Legolas joined them as well. So they had a sort of a mini reunion. No humans joined them, though.
No.
So in the books, and I did look for this, I couldn't get very much information on the Grey Havens. But it did get me thinking, there are places on Earth, the Earth that we live on right now, that are incredibly grey.
Like Finglas.
I heard the pain in your voice as you said that.
Okay. I'm sorry to anybody who's listening from Finglas.
Okay, London in the winter, but specifically a place that's kind of grey all the time and would be a haven, because my definition of a haven is a place where there's not very many people around, you know? And where is more isolated and quiet than the North Pole? So my theory is that after Gandalf, I nearly called him Dumbledore.
They're the same thing.
That's another theory for another day. Gandalf became Dumbledore.
Beardy wizards.
Old beardy wizards. Okay, so my theory is that Gandalf left for the Grey Havens. Grey Havens are the North Pole, and Gandalf, in fact, became Santa Claus.
I believe it.
I have evidence for this. So, of course, the thing that we all remember about Santa Claus is that he has a workshop full of elves who make things.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what do you think of when you picture Santa's elves?
Definitely hobbits, now that you've mentioned it.
Yeah, all of the depictions of Santa's elves are short, tiny, cute people with like really weird looking shoes. And of course, you know, if you're a hobbit and you're used to going barefoot, you don't really want to be going barefoot in the snow too much, do you?
No.
So, silly shoes with massive tassels and bells on them and everything. And they had the little pointed ears and little twinkly smiles.
They live for a very long time as
they
well.
They do live for a very long time. But I think it's true that the elves do in fact make the toys, because elves are 100 million years old and are good at everything. I have to assume that they'd get bored. You know, so that they'd want to do something. And I did notice when you're in the thing, when you're watching the films, you're seeing all the beautiful things that they've made, their bows and their jewellery and their houses that are carved out of living trees and all the rest. And like, oh, here's some fancy jewellery. We thought you might need it.
All the artistry in the books and stuff like that.
Exactly.
It's like when Bilbo was writing The Hobbit, all the very fancy illustrations and that would go well for painting onto to like toys and stuff.
Yeah, so I have to assume that the elves got bored and they don't have any dragons to fight. They don't have any dwarves to be racist towards. More
harsh.
On that later.
That's harsh.
It's harsh, but it's true. They don't have any giant spiders to fight or any rings to throw in volcanoes anymore. I mean, highly creative people do get bored. You're a highly creative person. I know you don't have time to be bored these days, but I'm sure you used to feel boredom at some point.
Pretty sure I have some form of ADHD, like creative ADHD. I just don't give into it. I just do everything at all times.
Okay, so we could do that, right? If you are the age you are now, which I'm not going to mention on air.
Old.
Well, if you're old, what does that make me?
Older.
Shut up. Anyway, if we take that multiplied by 100 million years, you have the elves just constantly making things. And then here's the problem. If you're a very creative person, is you run out of room in your house very, very quickly.
You do.
You know, because I knit. I love knitting giant blankets for people, but then I have to give them away because there's only so many blankets you can have in your house. Same with like the resin jewelry, the sewing, tapestries, things like that. The felting.
So many cakes.
The cakes, yes. At least the cakes, at least we can get rid of because we give them to people to eat. But
is that why you hear like boomers talking about getting a singular tangerine in their stocking? It's just the elves have too much fruit. And they're just like, no, you're getting a tangerine, mate.
Yeah, and Christmas cake. I mean, Christmas cake, apparently you have to let it ferment for like 25 years.
You do.
Who has the patience for that?
Elves, apparently.
So yeah, they have like all of this stuff, this random stuff builds up at the North Pole and Gandalf has to get rid of it. So what does he do? He lasses up some magic reindeer, flies across the world, gives it to as many people as he can. It's just a de-hoarding situation.
You know, in the Hobbit movies,
yeah,
when they had the other wizard, something gas?
Radagast Brown.
And he was riding around on the rabbits.
Yeah.
So Gandalf's just gotten like reindeer and is just pulling a Radagast on it.
No. You see, these reindeer do have an ancestor who would have been with them, right? Thranduil in the Hobbit films. He had this great big stag that he rode around on. The swag stag.
The swag stag.
Yeah, you remember they used to call him that when there was that meme going around about him, dwarf racist party dad.
Yeah, because he was Legolas's sexy dad.
He was, yes. And he had this whole meme going around about him being a party animal. And and the stag that he rode around was called the swag stag. And that he just like, dwarves can't party with us.
They can't get up on the stag.
I love that meme so much and I miss it greatly. But of course, Thranduil, I'm sure he had more than one swag stag because one of them was killed at the Battle of the Five Armies. But I'm sure he had more. I'm sure he had a whole stable full of them, brought them over. They may have mated with regular edition reindeer.
I'm so glad you just said reindeer because I was thinking some very odd things there. And
no, this is not that kind of podcast.
Yet.
I am not going to tell you again. But, you know, the whole Rudolph situation with the red nose, I'm sure there's some sort of a genetic mutation that happens when you mate a Middle-earth stag with a regular Earth Edition reindeer.
It's magic.
Well, that too. But, you know, sometimes you have a little bit of mundaneness to it.
Oh, the red nose. You know when Gandalf and that go into the mines of Moria?
Yeah.
And Gandalf has his crystal and he just is his little, like, whispery kiss thing, the kiss of light, and it made the crystal glow that he yeeted into his staff. He just did that to the reindeer. He's just giving him little Eskimo kisses on the nose. It's like, ooh, aren't you a nice Eskimo? Nice reindeer. And then suddenly its nose started glowing. That's canon now.
What the hell was that?
I've had a lot of caffeine, but yes, you get what you know what I said. Reindeer's noses glow because Gandalf likes
yeeted a crystal into the reindeer's nose.
Yes.
A ruby specifically. Or was it a situation like in the Wizard of Oz, the shoes started out as silver but then they became ruby because they were like the blood of the enemies?
That is metal. Oh my god, that's so metal. I didn't know that was a thing.
Yeah, it was like in the original books that never mind. This is not about the Wizard of Oz
yet.
This is about Lord of the Rings.
Soon.
Okay, so I actually had to run this theory by a Tolkien scholar.
Oh my.
I found one on Tumblr.
Now I'm gonna have to stop you there now.
No. We are not getting into the ins and outs of Tumblr here, but I found one and that's the most important thing.
Was it the science side of Tumblr or was it the Tumblr we never speak of?
It was the literary side of Tumblr where all of the posts are massive long essays about everything. Like even the minutiae of daily life for hobbits. So I found one and that's the important part. I ran the theory by her and she said to me, well, actually, you know, Gandalf just appears as an old man in the original books. If you saw his true form, it's not human at all. And I just said to her, well, okay, so it's like one of those angel Gabriel situations where he's like several flaming wheels. And it's like, do not be afraid. Ah, I said, do not be afraid.
I always find it hilarious that they were just, do not be afraid. But if you listen to the biblical description of angels, they're the most horrifying things in existence. How could you be anything but terrified of these monstrosities coming down? It's like, hey, I know you're small and innocent, but suddenly, ha-ha, aren't you pregnant now? By the way, it's God. I'd be...
We're going to have to bleep that out now.
I'm sorry, but I would. That is just a horrifying image. And now all I'm thinking of is Gandalf coming into my house like that Simpsons scene of Mr. Burns flying through the ceiling, right through the window, just going, ha-ha. Suddenly now, I'm thousands of wheels of eyes.
Suddenly now you have a ring and you have to go throw it in the volcano. But why can't you do it? Do as I told you.
Reasons. Plot convenience.
Okay, but I did say to her, right? So, okay, Gandalf is this great mystical force. At the same time, he has chosen to spend I don't know how many years in the form of an old man. Mm. Now, a handsome old man. Ian McKellen happens to be a very handsome man. When he's played in the Bakshi movie, he's, you know, he's drawn very well, I guess. And he's voiced by John Hurt, so that's kind of cool. But he's chosen to be in the body of an old man with a long white beard and possibly arthritis in his knees. That's the path he chose.
Is it a reverse Melisandre? You know how Melisandre was really, really old and she looked young? Was he like, nah, I only look like I'm 21, but I want to look old?
No, here's the thing. He could have chosen to be like a young man in his 20s, hopping around the place.
But then he couldn't rock the beard.
He could absolutely rock the beard. Boromir rocked a beard.
But not a big, long, Sandy Claus beard.
No, well... You could absolutely rock a beard. All of the dwarves rocked massive beards. Gandalf could have rocked the beard if he wanted to. I think he just liked being old. And the thing is, then, when you went to the North Pole, you know, you picture Santa Claus as a big fat man in a red suit.
Mm-hmm.
So, of course, you'll wear red if you're in the North Pole because the only creatures that are white out there are polar bears. Well, anything you don't want to blend into the snow because you'll get lost. And possibly die of hypothermia, or you'll get eaten by a polar bear. But if you're wearing red, you'll stand out for miles, so you will never get lost. And then, of course, about being fat, you know, maybe he chose to be fat because that's the best way of staying warm when you're in a very cold environment, like walruses, you know, and whales, and, you know, all the other animals that have a huge amount of blubber because they live in seals. Yeah, so he could have gone for the seal route, you know. And also, like, he was very fond of his drink and his food while he was living with the hobbits for the time that he did. I'm sure that kind of being in a place where he have to stay indoors most of the day and night, he probably did gain a bit of weight overeating and overdrinking.
If he was retired, it's just retirement weight. You know, he got nothing to do. He doesn't have to be trekking across Middle Earth anymore.
Yeah, but I'm just thinking, maybe he just really enjoyed being fat.
All that elven bread.
Old. Yeah. So, yeah, that's my theory. So, yeah, the elves were bored. That's who makes the toys. Gandalf is, in fact, now a fat old man who gives toys to children in order to stop the elves from hoarding. And the hobbits were mistaken for the actual elves. It's been a very short theory, but I think that really sums it up. And I have to say that Tolkien scholar that I found on Tumblr, she had to give me the point that she couldn't not prove it.
Mm.
And as we say on this podcast, all things are possible until proven otherwise.
So, speaking of people turning into Santa Claus...
Okay, we have another theory.
I have a theory.
Okay, I'm all ears.
So this one is quite fun, and it's to do with the Tim Allen Santa Claus. Have you watched the Tim Allen Santa Claus recently?
Not recently. The last time I watched it was about a year ago.
It is a Christmas staple in our house, along with the Muppets Christmas Carol, the best movie ever made. But we always watch Tim Allen's Santa Claus, the movie, in which Tim Allen plays a guy named Scott that suddenly turns into Santa Claus. And it got me thinking, how did that happen? And you can't just say magic, because we're not that type of podcast. Magic, don't do that. It does not fly with me.
Didn't they sort of make it seem like it was a sort of a Dread Pirate Roberts situation, in that Santa Claus is actually, it's an heirloom name. It's a name that gets passed on from person to person. So there's no one Santa Claus. There's Santa Clauses who just take over as other Santa Clauses die.
This is true. And I was watching the Santa Claus movie recently, and I was looking at it, and something felt very familiar. Oh yes, it felt very familiar indeed, Sinead. I was looking at it like, that suit that he puts on, it reminds me of another thing that changes your physiology when you put it on. And this is where my theory that the Santa Claus suit is secretly a Venom symbiote.
Oh my God.
But hear me out. I have facts and logic to back it up.
Okay.
So we take Eddie Brock from Venom. His life has gone down the toilet. Things are going bad. He lost his partner. The partner goes off to be with a doctor.
Oh.
You look at Tim Allen, the Scott character. His life has gone down the tube. He's gotten a divorce. His wife went off to marry a psychologist, a different type of doctor. Right?
So the doctors are conspiring against these men.
But no, I'm just saying, these symbiotes must go for a certain type of person.
Ooh.
So, Tim Allen on the roof on Christmas, there was an accident where the host in the Santa Claus fell off and died. And the suit was left searching for a host that just happened to be Tim Allen. Oh, suddenly it gets stuck on him. He can no longer take off the suit. The same way in Venom as Eddie Brock. He witnesses an accident where Venom's original host dies and latches onto him, and then he can no longer get rid of Venom.
Ah.
There is more. There is more facts, my friend.
This does also make me think, are these symbiotes just kind of keeping an eye out for anybody who's been messed around by doctors?
Maybe they're racist against doctors.
Maybe.
But I was just seeing so many similarities. It cannot be a coinky dink. Something's not right here. Mm-hmm. And then I started to look into it further, right? So as Tim Allen thinks that he is free of it and that, but his body, it starts changing. Out of his control, things start happening that he can't have control over, like his hair growth. He starts putting on weight. His personality changes. He gets very hungry all of the time.
I do have a very visceral memory of him shaving off his beard and then it immediately grown back, which is very similar to a scene in an Interview with the Vampire where the girl cut off all her hair and it grew back. And that was a scene in a horror movie.
It was horrifying. And you're just like, boom, sudden beard. If only like actual beards grew like that, it would be majestic. But if you look at the Venom movie and we get our boy Tom Hardy there. Oh, Tom Hardy, best part of that movie. We call him Bat Salts Chan because he acted his ass off in that movie. He just took a load of cocaine and went for it. And it's just, he's Bat Salts Chan. In the same, remember the scene in Venom where he just gets in the lobster tank?
I'm going to have to put this PG-13 at least.
There's nothing PG-13 about Bat Salts. But I digress. And he's just, his entire body starts changing. His personality changes. He starts getting really hungry. And I'm just like, While Eddie starts getting really strong and stuff, suddenly Tim Allen, he starts getting very cheery. His personality starts changing, and it's like, there's something here that's just changing who they are fundamentally. And then I was thinking, we need some way to explain the elves. Okay. And I'm like, where do the elves come into this? And then I was thinking, Venom and symbiotes are aliens. So it would make sense that these people in the North Pole that come and kidnap Tim Allen would also be aliens. And you see, they're probably looking at the symbiote and just going, man, that is some deadly cool alien rocking around there. So we're going to... I don't know how to describe it, PG. I was trying not to say something.
It's okay. I think that ship has sailed.
But they're looking, that's a badass alien. We're going to revere him now. So they build an entire cult around the symbiote. And here's why they're aliens, okay?
Okay.
They never age. They are old and they just stay forever youthful. They fly around in strange, like, sleds, air quotes, when they're definitely, that is some form of alien technology. How do they know where everybody is? And how is any of that thing? It's definitely because they're aliens. You see, they have special diets with their cookies and cream and things like that.
Okay.
And just looking through things I wrote down. The last time I was watching The Santa Claus, I sat down furiously scribbling, just like, oh, I was like Bruce Almighty, you know, when he's at the computer and he's just furiously typing.
Yes.
I was like that, but scribbling when I was watching The Santa Claus, because I keep calling The Santa Claus from The Nightmare Before Christmas. Because
you're mixing up your genres. That's a Halloween movie.
But I was furiously typing because it was like, there's too many connections here for it just to be a coincidence. And the elves, they have to be aliens with their weird ears, and they're all small with their bright eyes, and they make things out of thin air. And yeah, they're definitely aliens. And the Santa Claus suit is 100% a symbiote, and you cannot convince me otherwise.
No, I do not want to convince you otherwise. I think you've been very, very convincing. I suppose the only thing that I'm kind of wondering there is, why is Santa Claus then on the side of good, in that he gives presents to children around the world and that's really cool and everything? But then Venom in the film is basically evil, right? Or is it one of those things where aliens don't really have any concept of morality, so it's a bit of a toss-up?
See, I was thinking about this too. But if you've watched the Venom movie and you've seen, like, the Venom comics and things like that, there are multiple types of symbiote.
Oh.
Like, you have Riot, who has a different personality. You have Carnage, who has a different personality. You know, Venom is different. Like, he's actually a sweetheart in the things.
Oh, really?
Well... he's an anti-hero type of sweetheart.
Okay.
You know, he's evil and he'll kill you, but, like, he's nice about it.
Well, technically, I suppose, if you think about it, Santa Claus could be considered an anti-hero as well, in that he's encouraging the spoiling of children by giving them gifts that maybe they don't deserve. Or maybe because he's got the nice list and the naughty list, you know, who is he to say that these children have been nice or naughty? Who is he to make those decisions?
You have never seen somebody that's been on the naughty list, because clearly Santa Claus eats them like Venom eats people's heads.
Ah. But hang on. Maybe that's not Santa Claus then. What about Krampus? Where does he figure into this?
That's when the Santa Claus outfit turns black like Venom, Sinead.
Oh.
Black Santa Claus is basically Krampus. And yeah. It's the Venom symbiote, I'm telling you.
So Venom can switch between being a sort of snaky, oily lizard monster to Santa Claus to a giant evil goat man. And
yes.
Takes all of these forms voluntarily.
Yes, that is exactly what I'm saying. Because Venom can go from, like, the human form into Eddie, into, like, the full Venom, many, many teeth, so many teeth. He's a shark, basically, so many
sharks.
Teeth. Flashback.
Well, actually, this is off topic, kind of, but after last week's episode about sharks not being, not great whites not being present in New York waters, I read a news report where a phalanx, described as a phalanx, of 9 great white sharks all turned up in New York's waters.
I saw that and I could not believe it. I was staring at it like, oh my God, the tinfoil hat is not thick enough. We need to get thicker tinfoil hats. They're onto us.
No, we need to start putting tinfoil all around the walls of the studio. But no, I thought it was kind of nice in that, like, they heard the theory and they finally went, oh, finally, we're vindicated after all these years. We can go back into the water. It's finally safe for us now.
The people of New York want sharks again.
It's kind of sweet, though, because it means that there's like a place other than maybe South Africa that you might actually get to see a great white shark in the wild.
That would be cool.
That would be very nice. There's a really cool video online of these like New Jersey fishermen coming across a great white. And he's just like, they're all freaking out, but the shark is just kind of circling the boat and popping his head out every now and then and just going, hey, guys, hey, what's going on here?
What up, my dudes?
A little bit. And then just kind of nibbling on the edge of their boat. Oh, this isn't delicious. I'm going away now.
Do you think there is an animal version of Santa Claus?
I'm sure there could be. But then again, animals don't really have that morality to be either naughty or nice. So how would the animal version of Santa Claus, how would he decide who's been a good boy and who's been a bad boy?
How does actual Santa Claus determine that?
Well,
morality is a grey area in which we all straddle.
I see. We're getting very philosophical about this now.
We are. Santa Claus is a very philosophical idea. Like, there's just this stranger that just comes into your house and everybody's cool with it. If that was on any other day of the year, you would hit him with a shovel for being a trespasser. Then it's like, there is a stranger in my house and he's giving me presents. It's clearly drugs. Hit him with a shovel.
Oh no.
We don't have many visitors in my house.
I can tell. No. That was a short enough theory. Do you have anything more that you want to say about the Santa Claus? Wasn't there a sequel?
There was. Right. My symbiote theory doesn't hold up well. It doesn't hold up well.
It's not airtight.
They were done by like different time scales. But yeah, no, the sequels and that, they had Jack Frost, his brother, come into it as well, I think.
Oh, right. Okay. Well, I mean, and he was played by Martin Short. It's just like everybody's go-to guy for their low budget family movies now.
Just like Tim Allen.
Oh, no. Tim Allen was in Toy Story and Martin Short was in The Three Amigos.
Was Tim Allen in Toy Story? Who was he in Toy Story?
Buzz Lightyear.
Oh, yeah. So he was. I'm not good at voice actors.
No, that's okay. Only anime voice actors, clearly.
That's true. But I said this theory to my husband and he was in full support of it because he was looking at it like it makes so much sense because once you put on the Santa Claus suit, you cannot un-Santa Claus yourself. And it's the same way as that you were unable to unvenom yourself when you get attacked by the symbiote. And
well, there is the whole thing then of obviously Santa Claus being stuck in the suit. It's prematurely aged him. How long is he realistically going to last with the symbiote?
See, that's the thing as well. In Venom, they were saying that it was causing an awful lot of internal damage to like Eddie's liver and things like that. And Venom was just like, no, I'll fix you up. It'll be fine. It's all good. Band-aids will totally put your arm back on. Kind of thing. But you can see Tim Allen's body starts like deteriorating. He gets like all the wrinkles and his hair goes white. And it's because the symbiote is sucking the nutrients out of him. So that's why he has to eat all the food and it's just that stomach's not because he's after eating loads. It's because of the body reacting in like a bloated white blood cell type immune reaction to the fact that he is being eaten by a symbiote.
Okay, so would say the one that's eating Santa Claus is a more benign version of that, in that it doesn't really seem to be doing him much damage beyond making him chubby and hairy.
That we know of. That was a short movie.
That was a short movie. So was Venom.
So was Venom. But you see the internal damage that Venom causes, because Eddie was in relatively good shape, because Tom Hardy is beautiful.
Well, I mean, that's up for debate.
That's up for debate. But
for people who like that sort of thing, yeah, okay.
But all the symbiotes were different. They all were shown to have different variations of personality and things, and react to their host differently. Like the symbiote, one of them was on a rabbit and it killed it like immediately. And then when Riot attached onto the Miman in Venom, I cannot think of his name, his body changed as well. And then when they showed Carnage at the end of it, he was onto that actor. That's name has just flown very far out the window. He was in Zombieland.
Is that Jesse Eisenberg?
No, not Jesse Eisenberg. No.
Matthew McConaughey.
Okay, sure. Close.
Those are the two people I know that were in Zombieland. I did Bill Murray. He was in Zombieland very briefly.
Can you imagine Bill Murray with a symbiote? Oh my God. That would just be beautiful. How would you know? There's so many stories of Bill Murray just showing up in people's houses. And it would just, there you go. Bill Murray has a symbiote, and that's why he shows up in people's houses and birthday parties. And like, he showed up at somebody's wedding once, just a random wedding. And then he was like, nobody's going to believe you, but there was pictures and that was a thing that happened. Because Bill Murray, man. Not even okay. Once.
But you know what this theory is kind of reminding me of? Is that, you know, the old Yuletide classic, The Exorcist. The look you gave me after I said that.
No. That was a swing I was not expecting, but do please continue.
I mean, I always watch The Exorcist at Christmas. I'm watching the Exorcist TV show right now. It's great fun.
I didn't know there was a TV show. That sounds
there was
cool.
A TV show. It's great.
Is this the way that people don't understand that The Addams Family is actually a Christmas movie?
No, I just like really grim stuff. And The Exorcist is about as grim as you can get. It's not the grimmest film I've ever seen. It's definitely not the grimmest I've ever watched around Christmas time. It's just on the list somewhere. But there's the whole thing where when the person who is possessed, when they get that their body starts breaking down and starts manifesting differently, you have the whole head spinning thing. You have a kind of where it looks like they're almost decaying, their eyes change colour, and then the priests are in there trying to get rid of the demon and usually getting injured themselves. We could say that's a symbiote. Pazuzu is in fact also a symbiote.
I'd believe it.
But then how would the priests get him out of the possessed girl? Like, are symbiotes vulnerable to priests?
It could be that the Reagan's body was breaking down too much, so it had to go get another host.
Well, it kind of did, because it got into Father Karras and then he jumped out the window.
Exactly.
Like in the Santa Claus when Santa fell off the roof.
And in Venom, when like Venom went from host to host until it got to Eddie. Man, we are making some connections here. I'm nearly out of red rope. Red string.
Yeah. Somebody asked, somebody on Twitter actually asked people who host podcasts, what do you need? What would you like to get for Christmas? And I just said, we need more red string. We never have enough. An extra cork board would also be nice, because ours are just too crowded at this stage. Also, a roll of tinfoil would be nice.
I'm all out of it for Christmas dinner. It's just, I've made some form of tin man suit out of tin foil just in case they get me. Because after the shark thing, I was like, they can definitely hear me. And nobody wants into my thoughts, not even me.
That's a good point. Okay, but maybe if the symbiotes are vulnerable to religious stuff, that could possibly tie into why Santa Claus only appears once a year at Christmas. I don't know how, but maybe it could. Maybe, is there a thing maybe where the priests are distracted at that time of year and it gives them the inch he needs to just go for it.
Is it a vague sense of irony?
Maybe.
The danger. He likes the danger.
That's a thing, actually, that they said that, like, demons in inverted commas, because now we're starting to realise that all demons are, in fact, symbiotes from outer space.
This is true.
That they like the kind of the irony of possessing somebody who is quite religious just because it's a laugh for them. So maybe they just like the fact that, hey, Christmas used to be about Jesus. Now it's about me.
I was just picturing Eddie Brock being religious and it's like,
No, maybe here, listen, maybe it ties into the whole doctor thing as well. I don't know. This is your theory. I'm just shooting into the wind here.
Reagan goes to a load of doctors at the start of The Exorcist.
She does. She beats one of them up.
She does. In the MRI.
And in the TV series, the possessed girl strangles a nurse.
I'm telling you, there's something against the medical profession, which is really unfortunate.
I don't know. Is it because, like, religion and medicine seem to be, like, diametrically opposed in some ways? You know? Because there is the whole thing where, you know, that people think the doctors are playing God.
Oh, yeah. Like scientists and stuff and making homunculuses and whatnot.
Yeah. I mean,
clones.
Yeah, well, you know all those flat earthers that you get into arguments with?
If ever you see me on Twitter, there is a 99% chance I'm either giving out about boomers or flat earthers. And they are not mutually exclusive.
What have you got against boomers? This is an apolitical podcast. We're talking about demonic possession here.
Because I'm young and I can't buy a house.
Cry more.
But yeah, flat earthers, I do get into fights with flat earthers.
Okay, well, where would you say the flat earthers lie on the whole symbiote religion doctor spectrum? Who are they aligned to?
Lizard people.
Symbiotes.
Symbiotes are lizard people.
Because there's the thing as well, David Icke and his lizard people, okay? I mean, Venom looks like a lizard.
He does. He does have a very, very long tongue.
So isn't it entirely possible then that all of the people that have been claimed as lizard people were briefly possessed by a symbiote who then moved on? And that is why David Icke cannot prove it.
Does that mean that the Queen is infested with a symbiote? And that
was.
And that's how she's lived so long?
No, she's just very healthy. My grandmother's still alive too. You know, she's determined not to die, and she has got an iron will. So, you know, it's possible that she's just very, very old. But that doesn't rule out the fact that she may have been briefly possessed by the symbiote who then moved on to someone else.
I was just picturing a wonderful scene in my head. Picture Queen Lizzie in bed as Venom. I think, Philip, I require brains. May I eat their heads now? I'm the queen of symbiotes.
The alien queen.
Bring me more corgis. I thirst for them.
God.
Oh. I'll never be able to unsee that now.
Yeah, that is true. Okay, so we've established that there is a spectrum.
There is
a
spectrum.
On which everyone is aligned now. Doctor, religion, or symbiote. And then everybody else is kind of in between. Where would you lie on that spectrum? Probably the symbiote. Well, you're on the side of the symbiote.
I'm some kind of feral gremlin that lives under the stairs. So
symbiote.
I would imagine a symbiote, although a symbiote would look at me and just go, nah, man, that's not worth that. That no. I'm moving along swiftly. That's too crazy.
That's fair. Although, if a symbiote did break into your house in the form of Tom Hardy,
I'd hit it with a shovel.
If it broke in as Tom Hardy,
I'd have a nice look before I hit it with a shovel. I do have a husband who looks nothing like Tom Hardy.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, he's your husband, so you have to like him either way.
I don't think a symbiote would go near him either. Could you? No, in the nicest possible way, they'd probably look at him and just go, oh, he's doing no harm.
He's too harmless for this kind of thing. We'll move harmless. On to, well, there's the thing, actually. In the Santa Claus, Tim Allen was a lawyer, wasn't he?
He was, Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
He was a blood-sucking lawyer and Eddie Brock was a blood-sucking journalist. I'm telling you.
Ah, so it goes for specific people. That's why it wouldn't go for you. Your soul is too pure.
No.
Okay. It would not go for you. You lack ambition.
That's not true either. I mean, like, I'm slowly working with the lizard people to take over just someday.
Just very, very slowly.
Just, I have to come out from under the stairs eventually. This has gone to very, very strange and wonderful places. I think it's because I have had an awful lot of caffeine.
That's fair. That's the state you want to be in for this kind of thing. I'm sure, actually, the state that you're in is fairly similar to the state of Tom Hardy before he went and did that film.
Yes, 100%. I've read an awful lot of the Venom comics and that, and I've always loved the whole plot line of that. But when the Venom movie came out with Tom Hardy, you could not have gotten a better actor to play it because he acted his ass off. He went completely to the wall crazy and it was just perfection. The minute I saw it, it was like, this is the best. It is hilarious and wonderful. And Tom Hardy, he looked like he had been pulled through a bush of sweaty drugs and just, he was still brilliant, and that says an awful lot about me.
That's fair. One more thing before we wrap this theory up. Where does the Elf on the Shelf square into this?
You see, the Elf on the Shelf is Lucifer itself.
Ah.
It's overseeing, preparing for the end of days. Have you seen its eyes? There's no soul there.
I can't escape from the Elf on the Shelf. I usually do a lot of babysitting around this time of year, and every family that I babysit for has got an Elf on the Shelf somewhere, and it's always hiding from me, and then I run into it and I get the fright of my life.
They are terrifying.
They are.
They are
horrifying.
Absolutely terrifying.
So you think that is that's like the spy machine that the alien overlord is looking through in order for it to pull its blue and orange morality onto planet Earth.
Blue and orange?
Yeah, it's a TV tropes thing in that their morality does not make sense to us. It makes sense to them. So this is why naughty and nice lists are completely arbitrary, because it makes sense to the aliens, but not to us.
I really want to find a link between Elf on the Shelf and The Exorcist now, as some form of eldritch demon that possesses things.
Okay, but like, if we're saying that the demon and the symbiote are basically the same thing, then we can absolutely say that the Elf on the Shelf is a demonic entity that is connected to the alien overlords. So yes, it is very, very much a possessed toy. But it might be a thing that when the Elf on the Shelf is possessed, it can only be possessed for a very short amount of time because it is an inanimate object. So like in poltergeists, when they pick things up and fling them across the room.
Like the toys in Toy Story that also starred Tim Allen.
Ah.
Oh my God, we're full circle.
We're through the looking glass here. Okay. Yeah, I think we're going to have to wrap this up now before this gets any more out of control. Do you have any closing statements?
Burn all Elf on the Shelves. They're the devil's creatures.
Evidently.
And this was just one of my own theories that I flew into quite recently. So they're not as refined as Sinead's theories. But I'm telling you, the government can hear us.
Oh dear. Okay.
But it was just one that I thought would be very fun. And as I was watching it, it's the only thing that I just kept coming into my head. There were so many connections between Venom and the Santa Claus movie that I had to share it, even if this episode went very wibbly wobbly, absolutely crazy. But I hope it makes for a very good Christmas episode. And I hope it put a smile on everyone's faces, because that's what we're here for. Even if it makes no sense, it's good to see some people are enjoying it and maybe put a smile on people's faces.
My face actually hurts from laughing so much. So does my chest. So thank you for that. So this Christmas, I hope you all maybe sit down with a nice cup of tea and some Christmas cookies and watch The Exorcist and start connecting the dots with us. Next week, we are going to be doing a theory on a musical.
Ooh.
The film edition is coming out very, very soon in cinemas, and we can expect that one to get quite out of control as well.
Oh, God.
Okay. Anyway, from Crackpot Theories, I'm Sinead.
And I'm Sirka.
And have a very crackpot Christmas.